Welcome back to the clubhouse. Here in the McAdoo studios, Kyle Bailey, Danny Noakes, Chris Coleman of TechSideline.com. You can follow him on Twitter at ChrisColemanTSL and check out their work at TechSideline.com. Who do you like Monday, Clemson or Alabama?
That's a good question. I'm leaning a little bit towards Clemson because I know everybody saw Alabama beat Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan State runs Alabama's system with three-star players.
Yeah,
you have to spread the field with athletic, physical players to have a chance to beat Alabama. And the teams that have beaten them recently, like Ole Miss and Ohio State,
That's
how they beat them. And that's exactly what Clemson does. I mean, Clemson is so physical. You look at, what they've done to Oklahoma the last 2 years. I mean, that's a very good football program, Oklahoma. And Clemson just makes them look like a bunch of little boys. I mean, with how physical they are up front. I mean, their defensive line is a bunch of grown men. Alabama's not going to be able to do to Clemson what they did to Michigan State, and I think that's going to be a very good football game. I think it's going to be one of the better national championship games in recent memory.
You know, as we get closer to this game, I'm more inclined to switch my pick
from
Alabama to Clemson. And I saw a stat the other day. The only team that Alabama lost to this season was Ole Miss, and Ole Miss was a team that averaged over 500 yards of offense a game.
Mm-hmm.
The second team they'll play that averages over 500 yards of offense a game is Clemson.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit, Clemson averages a little bit more.
Well,
so,
yeah, and like I said, I keep coming back to, what are you going to have to ask Jacob Coker to do? Okay, I know, like you said, I know he played well against Michigan State, but the matchup didn't favor Michigan State. I gave the Spartans a lot of credit for how tough they played this season, how physical they were, but when it came down to it, I thought they'd lose but cover the spread. But you're right. They were blown out because they run the same system Alabama does with just inferior players. And inferior is a really strong word. Just not as talented players. Alabama gets the best of the best in this country when it comes to recruiting. And that's just how it is. Clemson has also been getting the best of the best in this country when it comes to recruiting. And they run the kind of offense that gives Alabama fits. And, boy, what a job Dabo's done. I mean, I know Tech fans, it's tough for them to swallow how Clemson has really risen to the top of the pile here because of the way Tech used to dominate Clemson, but give credit where it's due, man. Dabo's fantastic.
I love what he's done with that program. He's one of my favorite coaches ever, and I don't have any problem admitting that I was way off when he got hired. I thought he was a clown.
Yeah.
I thought he was a total clown. I'm like, Clemson's hiring a wide receivers coach who just jumps up and down on the sideline and beats his chest, and they really expect this guy to be better than Tommy Bowden. Well,
he's
he
better
is.
Than
he's
Tommy
better
Bowden.
Than Tommy Bowden, and he the vision he had for that program, he knows who he is. I don't know what kind of an X's and O's coach he is, but he knows that his role is to be a motivator, a CEO, and a recruiter. And that's exactly what he does, and he hires the best coordinators he can get, and he lets them coach. I mean, Brent Venables is the new Bud Foster. Is probably what Clemson fans are describing.
Oh, right? I think that's fair too. And you look at it last year, Danny. I mean, I think I mentioned this earlier. He loses Chad Morris, and everyone's like, "Oh, well, curtain's going to fall now on this thing." He goes to the national championship when he loses Chad Morris. I mean, that's just he's a good coach. You can't deny it at this point.
Yeah, and they've gathered, like you said, with recruiting. They've got a great group of skilled players on this team. You have, the Deshaun Watson is just unbelievable the level he's playing at right now, and Wayne Gallman.
He's
tearing it up right now.
Yeah.
And the number of players they lost, that they lost almost their entire defense, and they lost four of their five starters on the offensive line, and they're still one of the most physical teams in the country. It's so impressive, and I'm telling you, if Clemson wins that football game, the first thing I'm going to do is go to an Alabama message board, because I know there's going to be a post on there saying, "It's time for Nick Saban to retire so we can hire Dabo Swinney." You know their fans are going to be – if he beats them, they're going to be ready to run Saban out to pasture and bring in Dabo.
And he'll go, too.
Oh, he will.
Dabo will go to Alabama.
Yeah. He's an Alabama alum, in case everybody's wondering why I'm saying all that.
Yeah, it's no slight to Clemson.
Yeah.
It's like Bear Bryant said, when mama calls, you go home.
Right.
And he's been an Alabama guy. So,
sure.
But you're right. So they will say it's time for Nick Saban to go. But if Nick Saban, the thing is, though, it's such a thin line, because if Nick Saban wins that game, they're already talking about him as the greatest coach in college football history.
Right.
Already surpassing the Bear at Alabama, but also maybe the best coach in college football history. And whether he wins or loses that game on Monday night could evidently completely change the course of his legacy, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's not like he's never won national championships before, right? Yeah. But this right. one right here, whether he wins, what would this be, his fourth?
Yeah.
Fifth?
Fifth, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you're not the greatest coach of all time if you've only won four. But if you win five, maybe you are.
Yeah.
I guess.
So that must be how that works.
Yeah.
All right, we talked to Justin Fuente yesterday.
Yeah.
And it was an interesting conversation. I asked him what he learned about this team when he watched the bowl game, and he said, "I watched it as a fan. I was screaming at the TV like everybody else." And yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was a good interview. I appreciated Justin Fuente, as one of our listeners put it, listening to the questions and answering them thoughtfully.
Yeah,
I don't believe for a second though he wasn't evaluating his players.
Absolutely. You know, I like interviewing him. I interviewed him yesterday too in his office.
That's right.
It's the first time I've ever been in that office, and he's such a laid back guy. He's sitting on the couch in his cowboy boots. I'm in the chair in my cowboy boots. It's a laid back, casual interview. You know, really enjoyable. But yeah, I don't believe for a minute that he was not seriously taking notes or even, you know, watching practices before the bowl game. I think he has a decent idea about his personnel at this point. I mean, he's been here over a month. I know he's spending a lot of time recruiting, but you can't spend every waking hour recruiting, especially during the dead period. So I think at this point he's got a better idea. And, you know, they've started up staff meetings now. You can't tell me he wasn't in that bowl game thinking, man, we need more defensive in-depth, or we need better mic play.
Mm-hmm. Or look at Isaiah Ford.
Yeah, right. Yeah. How can I use that guy next year? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, oh, he's only a sophomore, and holy crap, that running back's only a freshman?
Yeah. I got three more of them?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly. I know he's playing it very close to the vest right now as far as all that stuff goes. It's going to be interesting to see what our access is like in the spring. You know,
yeah.
In the past, we've all had open scrimmages. You can go watch him play three times before the spring game, and that's actually how I've been able to do a lot of my player evaluations in the past, but I don't know if we'll have that luxury going forward.
Yeah, he's, you know, honestly, the more we've got, and that was the first time that Kyle and I have gotten the chance to talk to him, just the three of us, not in a total media setting, and you know, to me it just seems like the more we talk to him, the more he seems like a pretty good fit for this program. Just a small town guy, the cowboy boots, like you're the guys that cover the team are wearing cowboy boots. We're all wearing cowboy boots.
You know, when the media is wearing the same boots he is to come cover him, you know,
and obviously it goes deeper than that, but you know what I'm saying.
You're right. I mean, like, it's the same, but you can't dismiss it, and I know you're not.
Right.
But that was part of it for him. You know, when you have guys like Coleman and me and, you know, others walking in wearing the same damn boots he's wearing, you know, and we like to say, like, it's a different vibe here, you know, and that's just Southwest Virginia, it's a different vibe, and it's one that seemed to fit him very well.
And he understands that. He understands what he got himself into from that standpoint. You know, this morning he took his whole staff over to the Montgomery County Chamber of Commerce,
Coach's breakfast. We should have been
there. Actually, matter of fact, our boss went to that. We did not.
I was wondering why we weren't at that.
Ask the boss lady. I don't know.
Exactly.
But anyway, I mean, he knows who he was replacing.
Yeah.
And he knows more about Frank Beamer than just his name. He understands the type of man Frank Beamer was around in this community. And I think he's done a very good job so far of being that type of guy.
Yeah. So in terms of strict football stuff, though, which people want to talk about, they want to know who the quarterback is going to be next year. They want to know how the offensive line is going to look. He goes out and gets a couple of JUCO kid, and I guess T.J. Jackson, mammoth of a kid,
still pursuing another JUCO lineman, the Pridgen kid, and maybe another high school lineman or two.
But then said yesterday that JUCO is not going to be the norm. You know, we hadn't seen JUCOs around here in a long time. Here you got several of them coming in to kind of build some depth. But he said it's not going to be the norm around here, which I understand.
Of course, I mean there's no JUCOs in this area. I think, you know, you go out and you try to get the best players regardless, but it is the best idea to build your program through the high school ranks, if at all possible. And if you do end up with depth issues, then you try to fill them with the JUCOs. I think that's the proper way to handle it. The problem is Virginia Tech, I mean, goodness, look at the depth issues Virginia Tech has had the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And there was no effort. I mean, you know, how much better could we have been at wide receiver over the last couple of years if we had gone out and grabbed a JUCO who would have been ready to come in and play right away?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, we just keep signing freshmen and in some cases signing high school quarterbacks to play wide receiver, and they're coming as a freshman. Of course, they're not going to be able to play early and contribute early. They're going to a different position.
Right.
So when you have the depth issue like that, I mean, and you're making multi-millions of dollars like Frank Beamer was, and your fan base is not quite selling that stadium out anymore.
But pretty close.
Yeah. And, you know, you need to do things like that. You need to go take a JUCO. If it helps you win a football game and it's legal and he's not a bad kid, then you go get a JUCO.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that I think is really important that we're forgetting, they have four guys returning on this year's offensive line. Mm-hmm. So that creates depth there, and it all obviously starts up front. But Fuente's going to spread it out, and he's going to throw the ball around. But he's still going to want to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So getting behind an offensive line that's experienced and deep is going to benefit him a lot. And they're going to be deep at running back again. You get McMillan back. We'll see what happens with Marshawn Williams and Shai McKenzie, but you're still gonna have a lot of talent back there. And we asked him about Jerod Evans yesterday.
Yeah,
and he said that that's a guy that they've been looking at since he actually came out of high school.
Yeah, he said Jerod Evans' offensive coordinator. There was a connection there with his offensive coordinator, right. You know, at the JUCO level, whatever it was. But it was interesting, you know. And he said what you'd expect, that he's going to come on and compete for the job. You know, he's got no guarantees, but. I know I personally expect Rod Evans to be the starting quarterback next season. Really quickly, but we're running out of time here. Galen Scott, it's interesting, right? I mean, that's not what I expected. Bud Foster is going to keep coaching linebackers, and Galen Scott's going to be involved with Charlie Wiles on the defensive line. I think that's fascinating. Also, Galen Scott, the assistant head coach title.
I heard from a couple sources that Bud didn't want to give up the linebacker.
Yeah.
So they want to fit Scott in a role, and somehow, here's what you got to recognize. Fuente really trusts Galen Scott. Really, really trusts him. They used to be roommates. He thinks he's a very good coach. I think everybody's taken it for granted that the Foster with Fuente dynamic will automatically work out.
Yeah.
It might not.
Yeah.
It might get a year from now when they find out they can't work together. And maybe this whole thing of, if it's true, Foster just basically said, no, I'm not giving up linebackers. Maybe that's the first part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But if Bud Foster ever leaves here, then I'm sure Galen Scott would be the next defensive coordinator. So you got to get him in the program somehow and let him get used to the personnel and everything like that. So it's a dynamic to keep your eye on. The title of assistant head coach is obviously shows that Fuente really trusts him.
What does it mean, though? I mean, Bud's the associate head coach.
What's the difference?
Bud's the number two.
It means Bud's number two. Like if Fuente.
Got the flu,
or stepped in front of a bus or something on any given day, then Bud Foster's the head coach. Assistant head coach? I'm not really sure. I think it's just a...
Aren't they all kind of assistant head coaches?
You would think.
Day,
you but, know. You know, I think it's limited duties on a day-to-day basis. It's hard to say.
Look, Galen Scott, I've watched the interview. I've watched him. He seems like a likable guy.
Yeah.
He seems like a guy that I'd like to hang out with.
He held the door open for me walking in the Merriman Center.
Yeah, he seems like a super good guy.
Really.
But the fact is, his Memphis defense stunk.
Yeah.
And I don't know what to... No one knows what to expect from him. And I'm not saying that one year of a defense... should be a referendum on the man's entire coaching career or ability. I'm just saying, the way to hear you position it, it's like, okay, well, he could be the next in line if Bud leaves to get a head coaching job or they don't work out. And it's like, okay, well, that's great, but this is a program that was built on defense, and that guy's track record is not exactly great at this point.
Right.
So I just want to throw that out there. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's going to be an interesting dynamic to keep up with, in my opinion.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see. We all have to prove ourselves at some level or another. Yeah, so
that's right.
Chris, thank you, buddy.
All right, man. Sounds good.
Chris Coleman, TechSideline.com. Follow him on Twitter at ChrisColemanTSL. We're out of time. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show and send you off to your weekend. Keep it locked to Super Sports 101.7.